you to a few slang words introduced in the English language over the past few years. If I can get it to do it. Phonesia. Phonesia is what happens when you dial a phone number and forget who you called just before you answer. Next one. Carpe perpetuation. Carpet perpetuation, the act of running a vacuum cleaner over a string or a piece of lint at least a dozen times, reaching down, picking it up, examining it then put it back down again and giving the vacuum cleaner one more chance. Who's done that? I can remember doing it this week. I'm thinking... I love that one. Telecrastination. If you telecrastinate, you always let the phone ring at least twice before you pick it up, even if your hand is almost over it. Or you disinfect. Disinfect is a verb. To attempt to sterilise a lolly or a piece of candy you dropped on the floor by blowing on it, assuming that it will somehow remove all the germs. Have you ever done that? You've disinfected something. Well, sort of, anyhow. One of the best ones, which is a few years ago, lactomagulation. These are words which were put together. It was a few years ago now when we had milk cartons or juice cartons. If when you manhandle the open here spout of a milk carton so badly, you have to resort to opening the illegal other side of the carton, you have lactomagulation. Who's ever wrecked that one? You're thinking, no. Can I open it? Lactomagulation. Well, Eric Hesse, speaking on Ecclesiastes, introduces us to a new word. Ecclesiastes. It's through the study of Ecclesiastes you've come to the realisation that there is no ultimate, long-lasting meaning and purpose to be found in life apart from the Lord God of the Bible, then you've been ecclesiasted. Life has meaning and purpose when you have been ecclesiasted. You see, many things in life lead us away from God, actually often down dead-end streets, towards experiences and meaninglessness, frustration and absurdity to which Solomon has been speaking about. We're blinded by the vanity of pursuits to the God who made us and loves us and calls us into relationship with him. Solomon, in the end, hopes that every single one of us has been ecclesiasted, finding that there is nothing left to lean on, nothing left to put our trust in, nothing of lasting value left pursuing, except for the one true living God. And so we come to the end of Ecclesiastes. We began back in chapter 1, and as Solomon wrote in verse 2 of chapter 1, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, always vanity. Last week, in chapter 12, verse 8, here he is again, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, always vanity. As he's come through all the way, his M1 is the same as what he began in. Like these verses can almost be seen as bookends to Solomon's search. He's gone around in a circle and found no ultimate meaning or purpose. Remember, under the sun. Remember, he's looking under the sun. Yes, there are some things which give short-time enjoyment, focus, fills in time, gives some pleasure. But when put into the context of life in total, which Solomon has reminded us a few times, ends in death, whether you are a wise person or fool, rich or poor, the things under the sun have no lasting value, have no ultimate purpose. And so, we come to Solomon's summing up. Thanks, Raj. That's not doing it for some reason. Thank you. The conclusion. And firstly, he says, he speaks about the truth given to humans. And we read in verses 9 to 12, and moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Solomon goes on to say, in his wisdom, in his caring for the people, he taught them. Solomon was the king, but was also chosen by God to lead the people of Israel, succeeding his father David. It is the role of leaders to teach, for pastors to teach, to lead and guide. But he says, I was careful how to sought and find acceptable words, words that could be understood. I recall one of my lecturers back at BCV, I won't mention his name because David's here and he'll actually know him. His motto was, why use a simple word when you can use a big one, one that impresses others? Or in my case, more often than not, confuse me. I can still picture us now in the New Testament, evening class, all sitting there, not sure about a word our lecturer had actually said, and no one was really game to put up their hand. But because I was 40 years old, younger than much of the other guys, I said, hang on, what's that meaning? What did you mean by that? Because I figured everyone else was thinking the same thing, but weren't game enough to put up their hand. And then he explained, oh, what? It actually means that. Why did you say that in the first place? Solomon's concern was what was taught, was written, was upright, understandable, and most importantly, words of truth. This is when Solomon's focus looks above the sun. He's been talking about under, but now he goes above the sun. Seeking words of truth by the shepherd. We sang a song before, which was inspired by the verse found in Psalm 19, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. And in your message notes, I refer to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And the first part of 16 goes, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The same spirit who inspired Solomon as he wrote Ecclesiastes. Also, Solomon says, the truth is to be like a goad. A goad? It was a large pointed stick, or a stick with a nail in the end of it. It was used for urging or directing oxen. But also, shepherds would use a goad to keep the sheep going in one direction, correct one's path, alter behaviour. And that is the purpose of Scripture. We go on in 2 Timothy, second part. I'll read the whole thing again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That is what Scripture is for. It's not just a book to read at night to fall asleep on. It's about leading God. What can I learn? What is God trying to teach me from His Word here especially? Solomon also writes about there are many books, there is no need, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. I do remember in BCV feeling a bit wearisome after the 3 years, but never mind, that was another thing. When Solomon wrote these words of wisdom, There were certainly other writings around. They were on scrolls. They weren't in books we have now. But compared with today, there is enormous amount of writings of many things. The problem today is often many are contradictory human thoughts. Books are great, but there is a need to get back to God's Word, to the Bible, to the truth, and reading in there. I was only reflecting with someone the other day about the number of religious groups that appeared in the mid-1880s, groups such as the Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Christadelphians. These groups all came out of the mainline Christian church. But someone or some small group within the church didn't like some of the truths of the Bible and then added to or changed some of the parts. And that's why often they sound the same, because they've come from the same base. But they didn't like, some didn't like in the sense that Jesus is God, that he's one. So they changed it to fit their own one there. And Solomon warns against going after such false claims. His advice is stick to the ancient and tried wisdom and truth of the Lord God, which was written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Then Solomon moves on in verse 13, almost like the final words or his conclusion. And here they are, if I can get it to do it. Thanks, Raj. Just flick it over for me, please. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter after 12 chapters. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is mankind's all. Why couldn't he say that in verse 1? Oh, no, never mind. No, we wouldn't have got all the information on the way through. In a sense, this, besides from Solomon's reference to vanity of vanities, is Solomon's summing up statement. The conclusion of the whole matter, the ultimate purpose, the reason why you men and women are on earth for, is to fear God and keep his commands. In a nutshell, we need to remember our Creator, because that is why we were created. The emphasis in this verse is on the Lord God as Creator and human relationships to him. If we buy a valuable piece of equipment, we normally find it best to read the maker's instructions and operate the machine accordingly. We can't complain that the washing machine doesn't clean clothes if we don't plumb it in, put the correct amount of soap in it, and let it. I must say that I did try to find an image just with a bloke on it, but I couldn't find one. So I apologise, women. It's not a sexist thing, I just couldn't find an image of a bloke doing it. But you can't expect it to do it if you don't read. It's a bloke thing, you don't read instructions. That's why I was trying to find a bloke. If you don't read the instructions, you can't expect it to work. Yet we as humans constantly disregard our maker's instructions, and then we complain when things don't seem to properly work or things are not working out. We frequently ignore the purpose for which we were created, then wonder why we don't get the best results. Again, I was sharing with another person the other week. One of the hardest things I have to do or have done as a pastor is having to lead a funeral service for a person who is not a believer, not a Christian. But you know, it's interesting that at death, how people all of a sudden have an interest in God and heaven at the very last. Why didn't you think about it beforehand? See, the Bible is actually a loving letter. It's information about how to get to heaven. Here's a couple of verses here, I hope. Thanks, Raj. Just try that again for me, will you? I hear you. For God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Well, by grace you have been saved, Paul says, through faith. And that not of yourself, it's a gift. It's a gift from God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And why? Paul finishes it off. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. It's there. It's plain. So Solomon says, fear God and keep his commandments. Now, fear here, in these words, is not being afraid. Fear is about being in reverent awe of his holiness, to give him complete reverence and honor as the God of who he is, of his majesty and purity. When he created the beginning, he created by his words. This is an almighty God that we get to worship this morning. And we can call him Father. This is the God. And he expects us to fear, to reverent him. He's not just a mate. This is God. Then he says to keep his commandments. And certainly keeping the Ten Commandments. But other words of guidance in Scripture. Scripture is there to guide. Things such as, we find in Hebrews 10, verse 20. Thanks, Raj. Oh, got it. It did it. Thanks, Raj. Just back one for me. One forward. Beautiful. Got it. Hebrews 10, verse 21. This is for us, okay? Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but exhorting one another. Why should we do that for? Why can't we just sit and, why did we come to church on a Sunday? What's this all, why would we do that for? Give me some idea. Why do we do this for? Why are we exhorted to do this for? Whoa. Encouragement, yep, sorry. Love each other, yep. Corporate worship, yep. Family. Strength, yep. To hear the word of God. I love worship and singing. I love it. It doesn't sound so good in a shower by myself at home. It just doesn't happen. And when you're struggling, this is where we should be, encouraging, helping each other, being there with each other, getting through. This is what this is about. When we're struggling with our faith and we're not quite certain, we can talk to each other. We have life groups to help that. That's what they're there for. Strength to come. But some, as we're finding, back then as well as the writer of Hebrews, some were not doing that. Solomon is saying it's no greater way to meaning and fulfillment and pleasure in life than obeying God. That's the way he created us. Also, it doesn't mean you either have fun or become a Christian. Some people think that. Solomon has told us a couple of times, eat, drink, and enjoy life. And he said it's a gift from God. Enjoy it. Enjoy life, but be aware, be wise, and most importantly, learn to be content with what you have. Enough is sometimes is enough. And Solomon has spoken about that earlier on. Be careful we're not driving for either of those things which can take us away from God. You'll find in your message or notes again, Solomon just writing this, if I can get it to do it. Did it? Proverbs 9 verse 10. Proverbs, a lot of the Proverbs were actually written by sort of Solomon as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Two things. The beginning of wisdom and understanding. When we start to get the Bible, sometimes we think about what's going on, what's happening in the world. When we start to really get into the Bible, we go, now I understand. Now I understand why there's pain. I understand why there's wars. Now, I don't like them, but I understand why they are there for us. We have great understanding. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So to ignore God is the ultimate in foolishness. To serve and worship God and enjoy fellowship with Him was and is the whole reason you were created for. And here is our fulfillment, our all, and a far cry from meaningless and vanity. And Solomon, if I can get it to click, thanks Raj. And again, the final words which he has to say remind us again that because the Lord God is creator, he has already put things into place for his creation. He has put the summing up of his creation, the summing up and accountability for every human who has and will ever live on earth. And here it is. But God will bring, his last verse, but God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Glimpses of this truth, you may remember back, you'll find reference to judgment in Ecclesiastes 3:17, 8 verse 12 to 13, and 11 verse 9. You'll find him already, he's hinted about this. The thought of God bringing every deed into judgment is not meaningless, but has much significance for life. It gives us understanding. It gives us a sense of right and wrong. It provides accountability. It can provide us with peace and assurance. And again, as I put in your message notes, Jesus reminds us in Matthew 12, verse 36, but I tell you, this is Jesus' words, but I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. Saying that, I want to remind you of one other thing as well. You may remember on your little prayer card or call to prayer, remember the second point. We're looking at P-R-A-Y. What's the R stand for? Repent. You and I will continually doing things wrong. Some of us will do more than others. That's because of our journey, we've journeyed further on. You've only got to say, please, God, again, please forgive me for what I've done there, and it's gone. That's what forgiveness is about. So I need to say that in line with these words here, especially. Someone has written, if I can get this up, this is great. Thanks, Ron. Yeah. I love this quote. It wasn't mine. In the choir of life, it's easy to fake words. But someday, each of us will have to sing solo before God. In the choir of life, it's easy to fake words. But someday, each of us will have to sing solo before God. Be very careful. Be very thoughtful of the things you do and say, including those things unseen, and ask God forgiveness. How often? Regularly, I'd suggest. What will really last? What really has meaning and purpose? What will really have ultimate purpose as our life on earth ends? Solomon, through Ecclesiastes, has warned us that pleasure, work, achievement, gaining possessions, wealth, human wisdom have no ultimate meaning, and they can flitter away as our youth does. Solomon reminds us that life on earth is like a wisp of the wind, he put in verse. I can't believe it's August already, 2024. Where did the year go? Like a wisp of the wind. I was only reflecting the other day, watching my grandson play some basketball. And I remember back only a couple of years ago, or maybe 50, when I was playing, it's like a wisp of the wind. It's come and gone. It's going to come and go. That's what he's trying to tell us. But also he had to remind us there will be difficult days. He's not trying to make it sound like this. There won't be problems. He didn't. Scripture doesn't tell us that. If you've been taught that, they haven't read the same Bible or the right Bible. There will be difficult days. But God says, I'll be with you in those difficult times as you go through. Have you been ecclesiastied? Solomon implores us that the only thing that gives real purpose and meaning is knowing and serving the Lord God and loving the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing Him to be Lord of our lives and being filled and led by the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean that we don't have fun, laughter, or enjoyment, but it does mean that in all that we do, we put it through the grid. We put it through the lens of fearing God and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and giving, living by the true word of God in our homes, in our marriages, at our work, at our leisure, in our sport, in our thoughts, in all the things of life. And most importantly, as we look to heaven, if you want to get there and live a peaceful, enjoying life after this one on earth ends, then you better listen to the author of life, the Lord God, and read the instruction manual, His word, the Bible. I wrote in the news sheet this week. Let me end up with this. So here it is, the conclusion. It's time to decide. It's time to obey, and it's time to live for God now. Let's get ready to report in. If you've made a decision for Christ and are doing your best to follow Him for His sake and for His glory, just keep on going. And if you think, but I've messed up right now, just hand your mess over to Jesus. Fear Him, believe Him, and follow Him. And He will show you on that day how eternally significant that moment was. And may you be greeted by those words Jesus spoke in Matthew 25. Well done, good and faithful. I can't encourage you enough. If this has made any sense to you at all, you need to be turning to God. If you haven't done at this time, you need to be seriously thinking about it and committing your life and saying, yes, I can't do it. It's by grace you've been saved. It's not by you doing good stuff. It's by grace. It's by God's love, His grace. And you saying, yes, I can't do it. I need you. Please forgive me. If you haven't done that, I'm going to pray now, and I encourage you to think about it this morning again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your great love for us. Father, we thank you for Solomon, for how you inspired him to write Ecclesiastes. Father, help us to be ecclesiasted, to be focusing upon you, to have fear of you, to look for you, to honour you, but to know that you love us and you put in place the avenue just to be with you forever. Father, I pray for anybody here this morning who hasn't done that. Father, please, by your Holy Spirit, touch their lives this morning. Make them think again to be aware of that life is like a wisp of the wind. Tomorrow, we have no idea what will be happening. But we can know, we can have faith in you. So please, Lord, help us, lead us, and guide us. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to invite the musos and the singers to come up as we're going to sing a song as we come into leading in the Lord's Supper. And I want you to hear this verse, Romans 5, verse 8. This is God's instruction to us. This is God saying, but God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's great. We're going to sing a great song. How deep the Father's love for us.
Thanks, Raj. I want to read out a couple of verses prior to the one I read before from Romans. Romans 5, and we'll have it up on the screen. Romans 5, verses 1 down to 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you have peace with God, through whom you also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. If you want to have peace with the God of all creation, he says, it's easy. Turn to me. It's my grace which I give. And I've sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sin. And this is what this is about. This helps us to remember about the bread and the juice, symbols of Christ's body and blood given for. And we just, this is to remind us again, and we need to be reminded over and over, of the great love of God through Jesus. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to encourage you, as we've become, how we do it in Little Baptist Church at this time. I'm going to invite the elders will come forward, or others who are serving, and I'm going to invite you to, let me think which way do we go. We go back around the outsides, and the servers will be there, then you come back this way. Please hold the bread and the cup until all are seated back down again. But if you think there's someone, this is about taking care of each other. If you think there's someone near you who can't do it, then come and serve them. Bring this and take them to them as we care for each other. Let me pray. And then I'm going to invite the elders to come forward. The musos will play. And I'm going to invite you to come round the outside and then come back into the middle there. Please be seated and hold the bread and the juice in your hand. Father, thank you. Thank you, your scripture that you inspired to be written by many people. And Paul wrote this one by inspiration and teaching of you. That, Father, we can have peace with you, the Lord God of all creation, because your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, went to the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. When we accept that and believe that, then we are your children and we have peace with you. Even though we're in hard times, God, on this earth, and we don't understand it all, you're with us. And you're saying, I'll always be there. So, Father, thank you that we can come and remind ourselves again of your great love for us. Please, as we take this, as we remind ourselves, Lord, may we know and experience your peace again in our hearts. And we pray that in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to invite the elders to come forward. Then please come as the music's being played. Come around the outsides and then come and go at the middle there especially. I encourage you just to be quiet for a moment. We spoke about in pray. We talked about prayer is praise and R is repent. Can I encourage you now just quietly? If you know there's something which has not been right this week, before you take these elements, can I just encourage you, as we all bow our eyes, to just quietly ask God to forgive you. Maybe you said something really stupid. Maybe you hurt somebody. This is the time, before we take this, just say, God, please forgive me. Maybe it's forgive me again. And that's quite okay. Let's just spend this quiet moment as we do that. Father, thank you for forgiveness. And Father, as those who have prayed this morning, Father, thank you. Remind them now that that's been taken care of. Thank you. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let me give thanks. This bread, a symbol of Christ's body. Father, thank you for these symbols which help us to remember. Lord Jesus, thank you for your willingness to come to earth, to live a life, a perfect life, but then to give your life as a sacrifice. Now, Father, as we eat this, Lord Jesus, as we take this, remind us again of the great sacrifice which was given for us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Let's eat together as one. In the same manner, Paul took the cup. Jesus took the cup at the Last Supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembrance of me." Let's give thanks. Father, thank you for this juice, a symbol of Christ's blood shed, life shed for us upon the cross. Because of this, and because of our faith and belief, we have peace with you. Now, Father, we want to thank you again for this provision. Lord Jesus, for giving your life for us. And as we believe, as we accept, as we take this now, remind us again that we are most treasured. We have peace with you. Let's drink together as one. And Paul goes on to say, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember again what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us." Amen. I'm going to invite the singers to come forward. I was trying to think of a song to end the service with as we're thinking about the greatness of God and what he's done for us. I couldn't think of any better hymn. He's, "How great thou art, O Lord my God, how I in awesome wonder consider all the things." Let's stand up and sing this great hymn just together. "How great thou art." My Savior God, to Thee how great thou art. I'm going to do a benediction from the beginning of a book, not the end of a book. Galatians chapter 1, 3 to 5. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to sing the chorus of How Great Thou Art once more. Thanks, guys. He sings my song. Come and have a cup of tea, you deserve one.